grave. And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world on my mind. Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's a good ride from daddy down from Tennessee. Just out off about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog on. Let's be traveling by head sound of town. No local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger wound and we'll come 1,000 miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard some call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a jet guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
To love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. With stars and stripes and eagle flies.
Time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right, here we are. We're back. Welcome to the shooting bench. It is, what day is this? The 3rd of October. A lot of stuff going on this month. I have very little spare time this month. I've got, I had this weekend, and then next weekend I'll be doing a preparedness fair in Reserve, New Mexico. And weekend after that I will be here in Sholo. I've got my community emergency response preparedness training class coming up. It'll be all day on the 15th. And then the 22nd, for right now, I'm free as a bird. But then on the 30th, 28th, 29th, and 30th, I'll be outside of Albuquerque, actually in Moriarty, New Mexico, with a 3-day personal defense handgun class. So be running quite a bit this month. We've got, for those of you that haven't heard, we got our manuals in, our 40-page manual that goes along with that class. Punk and Cat, boy, yeah, you're absolutely right. It won't be none too soon, I can promise you that, for those of you not in the chat room. Punkin' Cat says we may not make it till that prep class, and that's a fact. We've got, with the threat of earthquakes in California, the election coming up, the economy, Deutsche Bank is just about gone. From the experts in our circle of friends, they are saying that if the Deutsche Bank goes, then we've got 2 to 4 weeks, and we're gonna see it here in America. So lots of stuff going on with the Deutsche Bank. I don't know if you've been keeping up with that, but it has been pretty exciting over there, to tell you the truth. We had they couldn't get into the ATMs. They claimed IT problems. Deutsche Bank clients couldn't get any cash out of their ATMs, and then there was what was it, on Friday, they said that fearful clients pulled billions of dollars out of the Deutsche Bank. And it's just been, you know, one thing after another with them, and it's not looking good at it. What happened was on the 29th, it was Thursday. Yeah, on Thursday they had a run started on, people getting their money out of Deutsche Bank, and then all of a sudden the next day they got up and they wouldn't let them get it, and now the ATM's claiming an IT outage and they can't get it. So they say if Deutsche Bank goes 2 weeks before the derivatives bubble pops and all hell breaks loose. So, you know, it wouldn't hurt. If nothing else, it's a good training exercise. Just assume worst case scenario and sit down and think about it. And it does. The only way you can do this by yourself is if you live by yourself and you're not planning to go anywhere and go be with other people and be by yourself. Otherwise, you need to share it with your spouse, share it with your children, whether they are there or living with you or away from home, or your neighbors that you trust, people in your group, people in your circle of friends there. Worst case, if that were to happen before the end of this year, maybe even before the end of this month, if it were to happen, are you prepared? Are you remotely prepared? Communications, defense, barter, you got cash put back, you got silver put back, you got ammunition put back, you got food, you got medical supplies. Communications. Have you got a way to communicate with the people down the street? Do the people down the street have a radio or two put away in a Faraday box so that they can communicate with you? Because I know you have one in a Faraday box because we've talked about that before. We do not have time to piddle around, dink around anymore. If you don't have it in there today, then I expect that you'll have it in there tomorrow. Is that right? Excellent. Thank you. Okay, but tons of stuff happening. We'll talk more about that in just a minute, man.
Well, Richard, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, I do, man. It's time once again for...
Hey, would you play another Somebody Done Somebody's Song Wrong?
We got lucky. Last summer, had a record. We'd like to thank everybody who helped make it possible, especially all of our kin folks for buying all the records. Mama, I found someone. Like you said, I took her home. She has no snout, but she's no doubt the biggest pig I've known. I thought that she would help me out with the laundry and the chores. But there are those who won't wash clothes and guess who's scrubbing the floors.
Mama, she's lazy, lazier than me. And on my couch is where she says she's always gonna be.
I've never slept that long.
She beats all I've ever seen.
Mama, she's lazy. She's lazier than me. You always said,
get the lead out of your pants.
But that old phrase don't faze her days. She's always in a trance.
She's hung up on the movie stars, on the afternoon TV.
And now I'm concerned, she ain't worth a darn. Get her to leave.
Mama, she's lazy, lazier than me. And on my couch is where she sits. She's always gonna be.
She's never swept the floor
since she swept me off my feet.
Mama, she's lazy. Lazier than me.
Oh, Mama, she's lazy.
She's lazier than me.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. I had to play that song a little early. Amy comes sneaking in here with some taters and some gravy and some chicken. And I just couldn't let it sit here and get cold. So in that 3 or 4 minutes there, I inhaled just as much of it as I could possibly get down. So I'm pretty well caught up right now. All right, and one of them we forgot to mention. Actually, I have it in my list of stuff here. Many mentioned it. Wells Fargo said, or California has suspended business with Wells Fargo. And apparently Illinois has too. I didn't know about Illinois. I didn't know about California. So it's all going to come tumbling down. Everything that D-Shoots, good idea. Yeah, sealing up a couple of Mausers. We've talked about that, about storing guns before, and some people have mixed emotions about it. Don't have mixed emotions about it. Just do it. Even if it's just one single shot 22, put something away. There's a lot of reasons for it, and we've talked about it before. It's been quite a while. Maybe we should address it again real quickly. There are those that say if it's time to bury your guns, it's time to use them. Well, I agree with that. I'm not saying bury all of them, which is kind of stupid. If you have to bury all of them, then yeah, it's if you have to do that, you might as well give it to them. If something happens, house burns down, all your guns goes with it. Why would it not be a good idea to have one or two put away just in case? Mountain shooter, yeah, it's probably not a bad idea. Mountain shooter's headed to the ATM. hold on. This earthquake thing, if it does happen, is supposed to happen sometime between now and Wednesday. So, you know, it could happen anytime. But if your house burns down, you have to fall back on something. If all your guns are stolen, you have to fall back on something. You wind up the unwelcome recipient of a visit from the feds or local law enforcement. Even if it's not your fault and you haven't done anything, maybe it's because you listened to The Shooting Bench. But for whatever reason, they are confiscated. Maybe an unwarranted restraining order has been put against you, and they confiscate them or give you a choice of taking them out of state or whatever the case may be. Lots of reasons why you may have to have something to fall back on. Maybe there's more in your family and everything. Maybe you just ought to put away a couple for some of your compatriots that weren't smart enough to save anything, to put anything back. Lots of reasons. Just do it. Just do it. Just put something back. I'm a firm believer in putting them a good ways away from the house so that if you have to leave, you can get somewhere. Obviously, if you bury them right around the house, they're going to be possibly a little tough to get to, depending on what the circumstances are. So put them down the road somewhere. Now, I'm gonna throw in my 2 cents worth here. With all these guys that's given their advice on the chat room here, I'm a firm believer in the PVC pipe. Absolutely, if the PVC pipe is sealed correctly, and you can. If it's installed right, no Cosmoline 305. Stop right there. We're gonna nip that in the bud there, and I'll tell you why. never mind. D-Shoots is gonna take care of it for me. Okay, we got you. You know, all of you have guns standing in the closet that stands there from one deer season to the next, or maybe for 10 or 15 years. Maybe it's just an heirloom that you don't shoot. Well, all you have done, hopefully, for most of you, that gun does nothing more than wipe down and clean. It stands in the corner at whatever humidity and everything that your house is for 20 years at a time. You don't have to get stupid with a bunch of junk to put in there with your gun. If it's clean, properly lubed, you know, wrapped up in newspapers or in a soft case or something, and you've got a little bag of cat litter or something in there with it, some kind of a desiccant, that's all you need to do. You don't need to do anything special. You don't need to do anything special to the tube. As a matter of fact, you don't even need to put a desiccant in it if you're in a very dry climate. Let's say you're doing this in Barstow, California. Then you don't even need to fool with a desiccant if your pipe is put together properly. If you're down in Georgia, you're down in Doc's neck of the woods in Mississippi, somewhere like that, then certainly you want to put a desiccant in there with it. Now, when you this desiccant, all you got to do, don't go spend a bunch of money on a bunch of crap that they try to tell you that you have to have. Just take some plain old cat litter, unscented cat litter, or the stuff that you know, they use to clean up oil spills on the floor in mechanics shop and stuff. And floor dry, they call it. And just put that on a cookie sheet. And well, actually, don't even do that. I have something else for the cookie sheet. Just put a sock about half full, tie the top of it, throw it in the oven for, you know, at about 300 degrees for 15 to 20 minutes. Drop it in the pipe right away, seal the pipe up, and you're done. When you dig those up 85 years from now, those guns will be in exactly the same shape as they were when you put them in there. So don't put a bunch of crap in there that you got to get past and take up room for other things. Just clean them. Excuse me, lubricate them properly. Make sure your pipe seals properly. Throw a little bit of desiccant in there if you think you need to. And then that's it. You're done. Put some ammo in there. Put a knife in there. Put a couple of cigarette lighters. Put some survival tabs. Maybe a holster, a handgun, and a rifle in the same tube. Great idea. Holster and belt in a tube right beside it. Maybe you'd want to put in a sweater. Maybe a full set of clothes. A set of BDUs. Two or three pairs of socks. Just a few things. You know, support things for yourself and or for your weapon, and have those, you know, right close together. You might want to take one of those 30 millimeter ammo and fiberglass ammo boxes and put some food in there and put it real close by. Have everything that you need in case you are left with nothing and you have to fall back on that. So I don't see that as being a bad idea. And you know what, if you don't ever use it, you know, that's really okay. Guys, it's really okay, because maybe your kids will. As you get older and you get to be, you know, 75, 80 years old and nothing has happened yet, make sure the kids know where everything is, what kind of, what to do with it, how to use it, and it'll be there for them when they need it. Tell them don't dig it up, don't fool with it, just leave it alone until you need it. And it will always be there. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, as they say. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And I'm back again. I don't know if it's this new format here is going to work or not, but I'm going to try to sneak in a song every once in a while and give everybody time to get up and go to the bathroom, stretch your legs, do whatever you need to do so you don't miss anything. Before I get into this other stuff here, there's a product out there, and I had forgotten about it for years until I went to the gun show here, or no, I guess it was a fair over in Apache County, about a month ago or so. Some of you may have used it before. If you haven't, you should try it. It's called Hubbard's Shoe Grease, H-U-B-E-R-D-S. And I'm not sure where they used to be, but I just found out that they have moved to Snowflake, Arizona. They're right here 30 miles from me. And I talked to the people that run it there, and they have more products now than they used to. But I tell you, this stuff really, really works well. When I lived in Idaho, we put this on everything. We daub it on our boots, and it really, it's an excellent, excellent waterproofing formula. It has a lot of beeswax in it. If it's real cold, it doesn't go on very well. But you can warm it up a little bit and put it on. They have new stuff now. They have a saddle and tack stuff conditioner that's kind of like saddle soap. They have a, well, that I guess it's different. They have a boot and saddle soap. Then they have a saddle and tack conditioner. They have shoe oil, shoe cream, shoe grease. And I don't know why they have, they've got another one here. It's Neat's Foot Oil Leather Dressing. But the, as far as footwear goes, the shoe oil and the shoe grease is, as far as I'm concerned, there's not another product out there that I've tried a lot of them, and few of them some had varying degrees of success with them. Some of them didn't work hardly at all, and others worked fairly well. But Hubbard's Shoe Grease works exceedingly well. I really like it. Put it on your rifle scabbards, shoes, boots, moccasins, anything, whatever. If it's made out of leather, it will probably. Now, check it on, because some of your light leathers, it will stain it quite a bit. So if it's something you're working with, it doesn't matter. If it's something you're wearing to church, you might want to check it up on the top somewhere where it's covered up by your, by your pants or something, just to make sure. But if it's just a utility type thing, then Hubbard's is the way to go. That's their one and only free advertisement right there. And maybe I'll go talk to them and they want to get some more in here one of these days. But anyway, let's move on. Let me check the chat room here real quick and see what is going on here. Yeah, D Shoots even put the website up for them right there, hubbards.com. Very good. Thank you, D. But, they didn't have the liquid stuff when I was first introduced to it. As a matter of fact, when I first got introduced, all they had was the little 8-ounce can, 7.5-ounce can of shoe grease. And I thought that was enough, but I'm really happy to see shoe oil now is so much easier to apply than the Hubbard shoe grease. So much easier. You don't waste as much of it too, or either, I guess, as with the grease. But I've got both because I really believe in it. All right, let's step over into the other room here. And one of the things we talked about, the banking stuff going on, and that certainly is a very, very serious concern. Another thing that I didn't talk about, and I don't know if we mentioned it on the show or not, but there is some discussion here about North Korea or someone creating, someone could be anybody, like your government, creating an EMP here to disrupt the election process. I don't remember if we've discussed that or not, but that is, you know, as far-fetched as that may sound, that would be about the only thing that would change anything here. That could be a that could certainly be a game changer for sure. You know, as bad as I hate to say it, you know, most of us have little faith in the election process and everything anymore. And I hope that we're all going to vote, whether you think your vote counts for anything or not. It sure as hell don't count if you don't vote. So, yes, I'm going to vote. No, I don't have a lot of faith in the system. I still think that no matter how many votes anybody else gets, that Hillary's probably going to wind up being our next president. So, couple that with the collapse of the housing market here. You know, there are so many homeless families now that have lost literally everything. So many out there that cannot afford to pay their mortgage or rent or anything because of all this. They say in, let's see, says there were 82,306 applications for one-time emergency grants. I think we did talk about this the other day. But this was in New York alone just in 2016, up 26% from last year. So if you look at that and look at the banking stuff that's going on, then, you know, Peanut Rider probably had the right idea rushing down to the ATM here a while ago. Not a bad idea. What have we got going on here now? So many things I can't even keep up with it here anymore. Anyway, let's see here. The debate's over with. We can get rid of that. I guess you heard that Bloomberg out there, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but he said the man that shot the Minnesota mass stabber, the guy that stabbed all the people there in Massachusetts, or in Minnesota, the armed man who shot the guy does not prove the NRA's point. Okay, well, whatever. This story right here has nothing to do with anything that we've been talking about so far, but I couldn't resist bringing this up. This is a guy that made a YouTube video here. He said that Apple had made a mistake when they created the iPhone, when they built them, and they left the cotton pick and hole out that you plug your earphones into. But he said there's an easy fix for that. He says the jack is there. It's in there. They just didn't leave a hole in the case. He says all you got to do, it's very simple. He said all you got to do is take a 3.5 millimeter drill bit and a drill, and he showed them an exact place on the casing. He said just drill in there right there. Just drill into that spot, and you'll be able to plug your earphones in there. And believe it or not, there are enough retards out there that actually tried it and ruined their phone, and now they're mad. I don't know if they're mad at him for showing them how to do it or mad at themselves for being stupid. But they are truly stupid. I can't imagine. I mean, I just can't imagine. Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Well, let's continue to march here. We'll get past all these stupid ones here pretty quick. FBI report out of 2015 that they finally completed. FBI says there were twice as many people killed in 2015 with bare hands than with rifles, meaning that we really don't have a huge concern, or shouldn't have a huge concern, for all these rogue rifle owners out there. This proves my point right here about the people we were talking about a while ago. There's a guy in a little town in Manville, New Jersey, high school. Some of you guys may have seen this story. High school senior there says that he was ordered to go for a psychological exam after an anti-gun control project he was assigned last year was found on his thumb drive at school. He was assigned this last year, so why is it a problem this year, and why are they going through his thumb drive? I don't know. That was, I don't know. Maybe they have some kind of policy that somebody is assigned to let them do that, but he was assigned this project during his junior year for a college career readiness class. He was supposed to put together a video arguing against gun control laws. Well, the teacher didn't dispute that. She just tells the family she doesn't remember giving that assignment. The teacher doesn't dispute it, but she tells the family that she doesn't remember giving the assignment. Harvey says he remembers getting an A. Well, you'd think that would be easy enough to check. I'm assuming that there's at least some degree of record keeping goes on from year to year, especially when it's only a year back. I can see it from maybe 10 or 20 years. So the kid says he can't prove his innocence. So since when is supporting a constitutional right, questioning a cause for questioning mental health? And why would someone finding a thumb drive not stop at identifying it, identifying the owner? So remember when the clock boy, remember the Muslim kid that brought the clock, the homemade clock, to school? And everybody, all the progressives and liberals, all the way up to the President of the United States, tripped all over themselves, condemning the teacher, the administrators, the police, for following DHS admonition that says, if you see something, say something. Well, they did say something. But look what happened. Apologizing, the kid and this guy is being ordered. Now, I don't know how you order a kid to do that. I want the parents to say, you pound sand. You know, this is a very, very disturbing. Anyway, there's the latest update on that NewJersey.com posted the video that got the school all bent out of shape. And there's nothing, they've looked at this stuff, there's nothing threatening about it. And lots of he said she said stuff on the about this video. So I don't know. I think it's a problem though. It's getting to be a bigger one.
Hi, sports fans. Welcome to Ace Grobney Talks with a Superstar. Tonight's guest, the incredible fullback of the Steubenville Studs, Bruiser LaRue.
Hi, Ace. I love your cufflinks.
Bruiser, you were sensational last night.
Oh, Ace, that's so sweet of you to say that.
You rushed 253 yards, caught 4 touchdown passes, and picked up 3 fumbles.
And a sailor.
what do you enjoy most about football?
Piling on, Ace. Oh, I love it. Bodies here, bodies there, bodies everywhere.
Oh. Bruiser, football's dangerous. Can you think of one game that was actually fun?
Oh, I'll never forget it. We were playing an exhibition game in Argentina. It was against the Gay Caballeros.
The Gay Caballeros?
That's right.
Did you score?
Oh, well, great big silly you. Did I score? I ran myself ragged. Holy.
Bruiser, how about running down your career for us? How did it all begin?
Well, Ace, I started out playing kick the can in my mother's high heels.
Yes.
And then, of course, we went into grade school football, which was touch football.
Touch.
Which I dearly loved. Oh, if I knew then what I knew now.
Yes, yes.
And then we moved on to junior high. We used to call it junior varsity, which was really a blast because we had all the cheers and everything.
Ah, yes, the cheers. Can you remember some of those old high school cheers, Bruiser?
Oh, you bet. Ace, I'd be happy to do a couple for you. California oranges, Texas cactus. We play East High just for practice. And remember this one? Re, hit him on the knee. Ras. Hit him on the other knee. Yeah.
You've got to be a football hero to get along with the beautiful girls.
Well, different strokes for different folks.
Well, out of all the games you've played, Bruiser... Out of all the games you played, Bruiser, can you come up with what you consider your greatest play?
Oh, I certainly can. You know, all of us are prima donnas, Ace. And I remember my one play that I think was just fantastic, where I'll never forget, we're playing against the Bradford Beavers.
The Bradford Beavers.
Right. And I took a handoff from our quarterback, Sid Talmadge.
Yes.
And I went racing around left end, and all at once, this huge beaver was staring me right in the face.
Bradford Beaver.
Yes, ugly. Oh. And I stopped and I said, hi. Excuse me, are you a Libra? Big silly dummy was trying to think it over and I just scooted around him and tippy-toed in for a touchdown.
Another great moment in sports.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, have you heard the latest thing? I know a bunch of you have. This is amazing to me that the all of the veterans' corpses they found literally rotting in the Chicago VA morgue. One of them, so much so that the body had literally liquefied and the bag burst and sprayed liquid veteran all over the place. This sounds like, and I really double checked this, checked a number of places, it really sounds like satire. It just sounds like crap to me. But it is a true story, and there were, I forgot how many there was here. I read the story, but I've forgotten, read so many stories here this weekend going through all this stuff. But even if there was only one, it doesn't matter. It said some veterans' remains have been left in our hospital morgue for 45 days or more until they're stacked to capacity at times. The level of decay was so pronounced that at least one of the bodies had liquefied. They tried to remove it and the bag popped. I have no words for this. I can't even imagine how the families of some of these vets must feel. Or maybe they don't have any families. Maybe that's why they're there. But he said there's, let's see, the paper trail for this. One of them says there's an invoice for an unclaimed veteran that has been here for over 30 days. Please approve for burial at Abraham Lincoln. And the response that came back was approval of unclaimed vet D status. When no response came, he asked more bluntly, any further on my poor unclaimed? I will fire a replacement report, but I hate doing that. So, and it just, it goes on and on about the veterans that were found in here. There was a senator here, let's see, he's the chairman of the Appropriations Committee on Military Construction and Veteran Affairs, and last week introduced a bill called the Respectful Interment. Why do we have to pass a bill to take care of our veterans? Why do we not have common sense and respect and decency? Why do you have to pass the Respectful Interment for Passing Veterans Act? This bill would require expeditious and respectful provision of burial and funeral service for indigent deceased veterans and remains of deceased veterans that are unclaimed. Is that really that hard to figure out? Yakima Glock, you know, maybe it's not criminal, I don't know. If they have to pass a bill for it now to make it criminal, maybe at this point it's not. But it damn sure ought to be. I mean, that's the most incredible story I've ever heard in my life. It just breaks my heart that these veterans lay in there and that nobody. I get it that maybe they don't have families and maybe they, but they are veterans, and family or no family. There should be, and actually, you know what? It doesn't even matter whether it's veterans or not. That just makes it worse, I guess. But there shouldn't be anybody's body, anybody laying in there for 30 days. You know, I'd give it a week or 10 days, absolutely max. At the end of 10 days, if some arrangements hadn't been made, family hadn't been notified or something, then they're going to be. If they know the name, they can go put them in a grave and put a little tin marker saying here lies George Smith, and whatever information they have on him, that's it. Relatively inexpensive burial. Don't have to. The casket I bought for my dad cost $800. No, it cost $300, and the whole everything that we got there was $800. You don't have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. That makes the people that are living happy, does nothing for the person that died. So as long as you have a suitable box of some kind and they've been embalmed properly, then that's it. Of course, you know, I guess the embalming thing is kind of a personal preference too. I don't know if there's anything that says they even have to do that. We, after my dad's funeral, and I may have already told you this, I don't remember, but we loaded him up in the back of the pickup in Farmington, New Mexico, and drove him to Luna. And this was middle of the winter. It was pretty cold and snow on the road and stuff. We drove him down to Luna, and the family met there, and we buried him, and that was that. But anyway, unbelievable. This story is about a year old, but I brought this up because I think it is so fitting for what we may see more of, what may ultimately get Hillary Clinton elected regardless of the votes. You know, I had this up here, and it was from American Military News, and now it's gone. Interesting. Well, what it was a Connecticut Democrat, a congressperson there, was arrested on 19 voter fraud charges. Like I said, this was a year ago. But there was a story that came up a while later that said that she, by a different source, that said that she had, that her sentence had been suspended or something over this. So, assuming that this story is true, which, coming from American Military News, I'm assuming that it is. But, Dee just put the story up there for you. It's from 2 years ago, and then a year ago was when I think that her sentence was suspended after it was all said and done, after all the procedure was done. But at any rate, you know, when it was doesn't make any difference. What matters is that it is, once again, it seems like every single time I can think of no instance when Republicans or independents were involved in something like this. It is always Democrats. Now, I'm not saying there's not. I'm just saying that I've never heard of one. So, how many, if they're catching these few, how many are getting away with this kind of stuff? And how is it affecting the outcome of some of these elections? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, through my clothes, and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair, and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone's frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes the body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw Daddy with a laughing little girl that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to the song they were singing. Then I headed down the street and somewhere far away a lonely bell. And it echoed through the canyons like a disappearing dreams of yesterday. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, city sidewalk. And Sunday morning coming down.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. For the last couple of days, there's been a deal on there about WikiLeaks turning loose a bunch of information that's going to fry Hillary and Obama and everybody else. But, you know, they've been saying this. They're bringing it up again, and it's probably been 6 months. I know it's been more than 3 months that they've been saying this. So, and nothing has happened yet, not a single thing. So we'll see. I'm reserving judgment here until Wednesday. Wednesday is the big day. This is when it's supposed to come out, that it's going to be information, emails and stuff that evidently Hillary didn't bury fast enough or deep enough for WikiLeaks not to get a hold of it. And old Julian or Julius or whatever your name, Assange, says that he's got enough to put her away. So we'll see what happens. We'll give it till our show Friday and see if anything takes place here. But I'm going to tell you for sure that I have very little hope out for that. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope there is something out there that really, some kind of a game change. I don't think the game can be changed, to tell you the truth. I don't think that there's any information that you could put out. I think that you could have a video of Hillary Clinton drowning a puppy in one hand and choking a little kitten to death with the other, and it wouldn't change the outcome one bit. That's how those people think, or don't think, as it were. So, no, we'll see what happens, but Don't hold your breath for anything big. We do have some big news coming out of the trials in Nevada or Portland. I don't remember which one of that. They've got them scattered around. But you might remember Shauna Cox. Shauna Cox was one of the two women that was in the vehicle with Lavoie Finicum when he got shot. And we have received our first victory here, which is very good for her. I don't know if it'll help any of the rest of them or not. But Shauna Cox has dismissed, or the judge has dismissed count two against Shauna Cox, and that is her firearms charge. So that is a big thing. And hopefully that will, it's hard to say that it would set a precedent when they're going up against the same judge and everything there. It might if there was a different judge, but if she did it once, you know, she's been a real snot this whole time, and I don't know. I can't imagine her. It must have been really clear cut case to drop those charges, because she has been adamant about putting these people away. Especially the Bundys. She really has it out for the Bundys. And interesting stuff going on at the trial right now. Check, go out and do a search for some of the stuff that's going on. Or if you're friends with Jeanette Finicum, I tell you the thing to do. Let me find out exactly what the name of that website is there, that Facebook page. This is one you should get on if you're interested in this. You damn sure ought to be if you're not. go to Lavoy Finicum, One Cowboy's Witness. There's several of them that have Lavoy Finicum on there. It's very, very specific here. Lavoy Finicum, One Cowboy's Witness, and that'll probably be enough. Otherwise, you can put hashtag Liberty Rising after that. Go join that group. There's almost 7,500 members now, and I'm one of the admins for that group, and I don't allow anything on there that's not directly related to the trials, the Bundys, the Hammonds, Joe Robertson. I've let a little bit of stuff go in there about the Indians in North Dakota because it is somewhat related. But join that group and go and check out. We have people on the ground in the courtroom taking notes. Readout News is up there constantly every day. And the people that are there that are reporting, I know some of those people, and they are they're reporting good, accurate, truthful information. And I think that it would be educational and useful, not just interesting for the entertainment value or whatever. I think it would be very useful for you and educational to check up and see how Ryan and Ammon Bundy are fighting their battles. And the lawyers that are involved and some of the arguments that they're using. And, you know, it's coming out as it stands right now. You know, there's a little glimmer of light on the horizon for these people. Damn little. But it's one thing, it's not getting any worse. Now, Deschutes just posted the URL link in there for that group if you want to join it. I am probably the one that will admit you and allow you to join that group. So you join, and I see you in there, and then I'll get you in there right away. But I think it would be great for you to to study up for your own purposes, to help people that you know, to lend advice to relatives, friends of friends, anybody that winds up in this type of situation. The more of us that are educated on this and can help, then obviously the better off some of these people are going to be. So, I would encourage you to go ahead and get in that group, and not because we're getting our information off of Facebook, but because there are people on Facebook that are giving very good, credible information. All right, let me get all this stuff cleared out of the way here, get my table cleaned off here a little bit so I can see what's going on, and we'll move on here. Hang on just a second. My goodness. All right. I have so many stories in here, it's unbelievable. I'm going to go way back here and start from the beginning and try to get a few of these. This gun stuff is killing me. Tennessee, just a week ago. They found out about it a week ago. It actually happened a year or so ago, but they just found out about it. The Tennessee Department of Health discovered a reporting error. I mean, how could this possibly happen? That's a big mistake. It's got to be. A reporting error last week regarding accidental gunshot deaths recorded in 2014. Deputy Commissioner said Thursday only 5 people died in the state from an accidental shooting. That's 100 less than originally reported. Only 5 for realies. But 105 is what was reported. Oh, we regret any confusion that may have arisen when data errors affected the number of deaths attributed to the accidental discharge of firearms in our state. Even one accidental death is too many, and all firearm owners need to have a heightened sense of awareness that protecting themselves and others from the harm a loaded weapon may cause. We strongly encourage all firearm owners to take the proper training necessary. Okay, yeah. Well, in a year's time, in a state with the population of Tennessee, you only had five. Yeah, one's too many, for damn sure. One accidental shooting with injuries where nobody died is one too many. But if you only had five in a year's time in that in the state with that kind of population, then I don't think that that's and now 105, if you're reporting would have been correct, that would be certainly you've got a problem there. But just five, I wish it was zero. But anyway, the project's policy director said earlier this month she confirmed the data with the Centers for Disease Control before the organization. Why does the Center for Disease Control have anything to do with accidental deaths? I haven't figured that out yet. Oh, that reminds me. We Amy and I are going to have a show here coming up. I may do it by myself. I don't know. But it's going to be a very interesting, very entertaining show, probably within the next 30 days. And we're going to talk about words. We're going to talk about how stupid and convoluted and confused our language is compared to other languages. The words that we use and the way that we use them and compare them to some other languages. I've been thinking about this for a long, long time. And I think that finally, I think it's time that I go ahead and do it. I've been thinking about it for a long time. So I'm gonna put this together and get it out here. I've started working on it here the last two or three days. And I think it'll be a fun show. It's kind of, you know, the way this show is going to be put together, it's going to be kind of aggravating when you stop and think about it. But it'll be entertaining. I think it'll be fun. For those of you that have ordered the Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training Manual, I am all caught up now. I've got one more order to go out tomorrow. And that's actually for one of my listeners. All the rest of my listeners are caught up. Everything went out. A few of them went out Friday. The bulk of them went out today. And I've got one more of the books to go out. I still have some of these flash drives to go out. For those of you that haven't heard about these flash drives, they are $50. And it's a flash drive, 32 gig flash drive with 810 shooting bench show episodes on there. It is the entire era, I guess you would call it, that the shooting bench was on Just Measures Radio. There is no survival circle on here. It's all Just Measures from beginning to end. From our very first show at a cafe in Eureka, Montana, or Eureka, Nevada, until the last show, sitting in my dining room about 3 or 4 days before Christmas of 2014. So, interesting stuff. Lots of shows, all uncut. I'm sure that I missed a few that didn't get recorded. I may find some more and add to future editions of this as I search through my computer, but I think I've got the overwhelming majority of them in there. So anyway, you can go to our website, go to the online store, and there's a I think it says TSB flash drive on there. You can order them directly from there. All right, let us move. Oh yeah, there's also on our online store, there's a PDF version of the CERPT manual, of the Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training Manual, if you would rather have that, or if you want both, or whatever. It is, my goodness, it's supposed to get down to 39 degrees tonight. I just noticed the temperature here. 44 right now. Yeah, it'll easily get down to 39. All right. You guys remember when the standoff, as they call it, was going on in at the refuge in Oregon. You remember a group out of Idaho, the 3% group, and they were the PPN or PP something. I don't remember what it was. Well, anyway, apparently, allegedly, the leader of this group has lost a whole bunch of members right now. Apparently, according to accusations here, at least 36 people have resigned, a lot of them in leadership positions, after they said that the nearly $3,000 in donations that was earmarked for four of the political prisoners that are from Idaho in the Bundy Ranch thing. They claim that this leader, his name is Brandon Kurtz, spent the money on a whole bunch of unauthorized things, car washes, car accessories, camping at a state park, iTunes downloads, gas, food, other things unrelated to what he was supposed to be doing. And this is, you know, there's other people that are disputing this. So I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it is a news story that's come out, and it is making a big splash in the patriot community, the militias and whatnot. It's just something that it just gives us another black eye, even if it's not true. It gives us another black eye. D. Schutz said, wow, really? D. Schutz says the Ada County Court has ordered Brandon Kurtz to pay $70,000. Filed for bankruptcy three times since 2001. Evidently, he doesn't handle his money very well. An Ada County court ordered him to pay a Portland couple about $70,000 after he failed to turn over rents and deposits owed on a rental property that he managed. And see, that's not even related to the deal. That's just an additional thing. So it would be so very easy to understand and accept that he probably shouldn't be the one with the purse, controlling the purse strings there, from what I can gather. I've read the resignation letters and everything, and these guys are very, it's really put together well. It didn't, yeah, it's better than it just being lost, I guess. Pacific Patriot Network, yeah, thank you. PPN, that's one. It really gives us a black eye. People, we've had some very generous donors out there that have helped us out with, I mean, us meaning, you know, Patriots, militia, and whatnot, with travel and fuel and food and bills and all this stuff. A lot of good people have really helped out a lot. We've had some really good Patriots here that have, you know, they couldn't. He couldn't, people couldn't help in a way, you know, physically. So he said, you know what, I can't do that stuff anymore. I just can't get around, but I'll tell you what I can do. He said, I can be helping you financially. And a lot of people have. So this is, when stuff like this comes out, it's going to mean that people are going to be more and more reluctant to offer their help in a lot of cases, particularly when it's somebody that they can't look in the eye and or somebody that they don't know. So it's sad, and it's the way everything is going here, it really looks like it may be true, and that's really a bad thing. But anyway, well, the I may have mentioned this the other day, but this may add to the other problems that we have. Apparently, there is a very big, we did talk about this, I'm just going to mention it briefly, a very big solar storm heading this way that could affect things worse than it did back in the 80s, for those of you that remember that one. So we'll see. Well, that adds up to the, you add that to the possibility of Korea launching an EMP attack, to the collapse of Deutsche Bank, to the illegal immigration, to the UN, to however many other damn things that we've got to worry about here. Okay, well, this is a case. Hang on here a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get this out of the way, and then I'll be back.
Hey, Jax.
God bless you.
I don't need any outside help. Ajax Mortuary, where deadliness is next to godliness.
Hello?
You keep sending them over, and we'll keep putting them down. Way down. Way down upon the Swanee.
God bless you.
What are you, some sort of religious fanatic? What do you want, anyway?
I was looking for a funeral house.
You're in like a porch climber. Ajax Mortuary's the name. Death is the game.
Well, deal me in. My brother's dead.
Beautiful. I love it. He's not breathing, I hope.
No, heck no. He quit doing that about an hour before he turned blue.
Magnificent. How did he go?
Well, as near as we can figure, he got a hold of a bad batch of chili con carne.
That can be lethal.
Boy, it sure turned his light off, I'll guarantee you. God bless you.
He was insured, of course.
I don't know whether he had a piece of the rock or not.
I realize that at times like these, it's a real bummer to discuss finance.
Don't worry about it, partner. He's dead, and somebody's got to pick up the slab tab. I'll get that money if I got to kill somebody.
Oh, now you're talking.
Well, he's my brother, you know. I got to stand good for him. Our whole family's that way. Straight arrow. Ain't no stiffs among us, Mr.
Mr. Jethro.
Oh?
Cornelius Jethro. 93, death row. At your service.
You sound like you really dig your work.
Well, as I always say, you don't have to smoke and drink to have fun. By the way, where is your brother?
Old Arnie? I stuffed him in the freezer so he wouldn't spoil on you.
Boy, that was thoughtful of you, but he is dead.
Oh, he's gone.
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 Gone to the great chili parlor in the sky.
All around the chili beans, in the chili con carne, round the rancid hamburg, pop goes Alani.
I'll tell you, old Arnie, he'd have dug that. Well, listen, I'm running real short on cabbage, you know what I mean? What's the lowest you'll go? I mean, what's the lowest you put a guy down for?
89.50 and we'll put him down. Way down. Way down south in the land of...
God bless you.
What did you say?
I said, God bless you.
You're not some sort of priest, are you?
No, look, now, first, this 89.50 job, how's that work? You come pick him up?
Well, we have been awfully busy. Things have been piling up.
Well, stiff as that sucker is, I guess it wouldn't be no trick to balance him on the back of my Honda. I was tying on with some bailing wire. I should be able to get him down there before it thaws. Where are you at again?
93 death row. We'll be expecting you.
Okay.
Thank you and goodbye. Sebastian, drop whoever you're doing. We've got a live one.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Revival Circle Radio Network. Couldn't find my little button there. Sorry about that. Anyway, we're back. That Hudson and Landry was so popular when I was a kid. I got to looking at some of their stuff, Dan. A lot of these old things bring back a lot of old memories, so I thought I'd share them with you. There's a restaurant owner who has learned a hard lesson here, evidently. The owner of Grace Red, as you were. The owner of Grace Restaurant in Portland, Maine, says she only wants to teach her children about love. And it's for this very reason that she told her patrons very clearly, said, if you own this gun, or you condone the ownership of this gun for private use, you may no longer enter either of my restaurants, because the only thing I want to teach my children is love. Please. Well, she's talking about AR-15. She's got a picture of an assault-style rifle up there, an AR-15. Which she said were only designed for military use, and to own one, or any gun for that matter, is not biological in nature. Really? Guns are not biological in nature. Okay, well, I get that. So she made the decision just right after the nightclub shooting in Orlando. And it was that decision that was met with, as you would expect, immediate backlash. And this is good. People are standing up to this kind of stuff. In fact, she said, reactions were so harsh that she decided to delete the post. She said, there were some very crazy ones. I took it down so they no longer could use it as their own platform. She said, overall, the post hasn't hurt her business, but she and her employees take safety a little more serious now. We don't go through every day being fearful, but you are constantly more aware of your surroundings, she said. I knew I might upset some people, but I never could have foreseen what happened. Under state law, customers are legally allowed to carry a concealed firearm into her business unless she posts a sign expressly stating otherwise. However, she said she won't go so far as to post a no guns allowed sign, noting that if someone wants to bring a gun inside the business, a sign won't stop them. Well, she does have a little bit of sense there. It's agreed. The sign is not going to stop them. Yakima Glock, that is good logic right there. Rocks are in nature. They're biological, kind of. And Glocks rhyme with Glocks. And rocks rhyme with Glocks. So, yeah. Okay. I get it. I'm good with that. Very good. Well, I already read that about the Deutsche Bank. Now, here's this one seems... You know, I tend to want to believe this story because of the circumstances under which this happened. But about 3 days ago, there was an attorney in Atlanta who was driving with his wife. Let's see, this happened... I guess last Sunday. Not yesterday Sunday, but a week ago. Driving with his wife near Piedmont Park when their car hit a bump and the gun in his lap accidentally fired, killing his wife. Okay, well, you gotta hear the rest of the story. Anyway, they got her to the hospital and she died in surgery a few hours later. This happened when the vehicle was approached by several individuals at an intersection there. And the guy had a gun in the car. Now, what it doesn't say until later is the gun was in a plastic bag, Walmart bag or something. It was in the center console, and being alarmed about all this stuff, he got it and was holding it in his lap. The car was, it says, the couple was being driven by an unidentified individual. The couple who were being driven by an unidentified individual, the couple who were being driven, left the area unharmed. Several blocks. Okay, I see what I mean. Some of these writers have a hard time putting this stuff in where you can understand it. But they apparently got by the first group of people unharmed. But a few blocks later, they were driving along, and he was still holding it in his lap, still in the plastic bag. It was a Publix bag, actually, not Walmart. But they hit a bump, and the gun fired. He says that he doesn't even remember the gun firing. He was leaning back in the seat and was nodding off when they hit the bump, the gun in his lap. So what I'm guessing, he said he was in the SUV's back seat. His wife was sitting directly in front of him in the front passenger seat. But she died of a gunshot wound to the back that had passed through. The couple had been traveling from their home. There was a witness there, at least one witness, person that was driving. So what I can only guess happened here is that he, and this is an old trick that you know, you can use for I've told people, if you want to keep a stainless steel revolver or something in the bathroom, something to hide up under the sink or something, just put it in a light Ziploc sandwich bag or something, not a heavy freezer bag. Something that will seal up tight and protect the gun in that extremely humid environment, but you can still fire through it, and that's one of the beauties of a revolver, is it usually will continue to work in a pocket or a plastic bag or something like that. So I'm guessing, since it was a Publix bag, which is I think it's a grocery store or a department store, and I've heard of them, and I don't remember for sure what it is, that he probably had his finger on the trigger through the bag, and the bump probably didn't have anything to do with the gun going off. It probably startled him as he was asleep, and he flinched, just a reaction to the bump, and fired the gun. So if you've taken one of my, particularly the CCW class, I have a picture of a guy who was shot. He was riding in a Jeep Cherokee. Actually, he was driving. He was driving the Jeep Cherokee. The guy sitting directly behind him, there were some friends in the car. They were all headed to the range to shoot a little bit. The guy sitting directly behind him took out his 1911 and was doing something with it. Why it was in a range bag with a round in the chamber, or if he put a round in the chamber while he was messing with it, or what happened. But the gun fired, went through the seat, and fortunately it was off center and didn't kill the guy. It actually hit him in the elbow, right above the elbow, and shattered that bone. It shows a lot of staples and pins and steel stuff in there, putting his arm back together. But these visual barriers that are sometimes, I saw several people that worked for me over the years when we had the gun store, which prompted me to make sure that we had a very serious training session before people got to handle guns behind the counter anymore. But that visual barrier seems to cause people to not exercise the care and carefulness that they should, because they, you know, if the person is standing, of course, I've seen a lot of them pointed at people standing right in front of them when there was no visual barrier either. But I think that visual barrier, whether it's a car seat or a wall, or in our case of the store, the counter, I think that it causes people to say, well, I'm not pointing it at him because this visual barrier is in the way. You know, a sheetrock wall, a hollow core door, you know, a couch, whatever the case may be. And most of those things will not even slow a bullet down remotely. So, you know, it's important that you remember the story I told you about the lady that killed her 8-year-old son when she moved into a house out in Cox Canyon, which is in far northern New Mexico, right by the Colorado border. And she was unpacking the rifle, a .22 caliber rifle, and she picked it up, the gun fired, which means she had her finger on the trigger or she bumped it against something. The gun was packed away with a round in the chamber. No, that's not how you move guns from one location to another. And the gun went through the wall, killed her 8-year-old son in the next room. I told you the story about the guy that was wanting to sell a Ruger P-89 to somebody. They were at church, and they're walking through the, they said, here, let's duck in here, and I'll show it to you. And they went in this utility closet, and he unloaded the gun, he thought, took the magazine out, pulled the trigger. The bullet went through a wall and killed the pastor's 7-year-old daughter. You know, it's a shame that it seems like more often than not that children are the ones that suffer from these accidents. All of which, 100% of them are 100% avoidable. Each and every one of them. So, anyway, that's my rant, my safety rant. Again, I've ranted on that one more than once. So. Anyway, they say the guy is just beside himself and distraught and all that, you know. I don't think it was purposeful. I just think it was stupid. And I think he had his finger on the trigger and got a little bit startled and pulled the trigger. It's just that simple. Let's see. We can do away with that one. We've taken care of that. Have you noticed the couple of clowns that's been shot here lately? And the one that really made the news here in several news outfits is one that was walking down the street. I think he was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And someone stopped and got out. He was walking down the street in a clown outfit. And the guy just stopped and got out and shot several times and got back in the SUV and took off. And no rhyme or reason, no robbery, no nothing. I don't know if the man that was the spokesperson for the police department said that he doesn't know why people are dressing like clowns, but he said that he suspects fear is a factor across the city. So I don't know if this guy saw him dressed as a clown. He said, I'm going to get out and teach him, and shot him or what. It didn't kill him yet. It feels like he's in critical condition, but at the time of this story coming out, he was still alive. But I don't know if... No, it looks like maybe he did die. Here is an update to the story. The clown killed in Plaza Street shooting. Okay, man is dead after being shot. Yep. Okay, well, solves that. Well, it's just a matter of time. You know, when people you see all these things on TV, where they you know, they hide in elevators and turn the lights off and scare people. It's just a matter of time before they pick the wrong state, the wrong area where someone actually is carrying a gun, knows how to use it, is willing to, and has every intention of protecting themselves or the people that's with them, and they're going to get shot. You know, it's that simple. We're seeing a lot of stories right now, a lot of them coming out in the last few weeks here, very few weeks, that where CCW holders are saving the day, are putting their lives in danger, you know, stepping out in harm's way to protect other people. And I think it's an awesome thing that's going on. But it's just a matter of time for one of these little pranks that people are pulling are going to wind up with somebody getting their ass shot. I don't think it's far down the road here. This story I checked out pretty well. And apparently, and this is why I said that I think Clinton's going to win no matter what. But if this is true, it says that there were tens of thousands of fraudulent Clinton votes found in a warehouse in Ohio. I've seen this on a number of websites. And 305, you know what? I wish that was funny, but I agree with you. The thought of it just breaks my heart. It just kills me. And the closer it gets, the more I'm thinking, as much as I would like to see Trump get in there. And he may get in there and screw everything up. I have no idea what he'll do when he's actually elected. But what I do know is I'm willing to give him a chance. He's not a politician. We know damn well what Clinton's going to do. We know damn well what Bernie Sanders is going to do. You know, or the Bushes or anybody else. So I'm willing to give him a chance because I am, because he doesn't have that background or that history. Yeah, I understand he's got a lot of financial stuff. He made a lot of decisions as a businessman that probably that hurt some people. And if that's any indication of how he's going to run the White House, then, you know, once he gets in there, I may not approve any longer. But I can't imagine that he's going to do any worse than Hillary. And I am not voting for the lesser of two evils. I'm voting against the greater of two evils. And I think that, I don't think it's going to make any difference anyway. It doesn't matter. So, we'll see. It says early voting doesn't begin in Ohio until October 12th, so no votes have officially been cast yet. However, inside these boxes were what one source described as potentially tens of thousands of votes for Hillary Clinton. And they've got the Christian Times newspaper has not been able to obtain a photocopy, has not yet been able to obtain a photocopy of one of the ballots found inside the box. But an affiliate in Ohio passed along a replica of what was found. And there's a picture in here of yeah, that's right, 305. There's a photocopy of a ballot here and what was on it and everything. So now they caught this one. How many other places in other states has this happened and not been caught? I think it is more than a little bit concerning here. So we've got, Well, I think we could probably get away with one more song, and then we'll get some other stories out of the way here. I'm going through them kind of fast, trying to catch up on a bunch of these before quitting time.
Bye. nothing left to do when love is dying. So before the whole world knows how it hurts, don't you think it's time we I talked you out of leaving, and so many times you tried to fight the feeling. I guess we tried and failed once too often. Now the suitcase down the hallway does a talking that just about does it, don't it? That'll just about kill me, won't it? Maybe we should call the truce. We could. It's sad to think that words could come between us, and what I said, God knows I didn't mean it. It's time we realize this time it's over. It's tearing us apart to stay together, and that just about does it, don't it? That'll just about kill it, won't it? Maybe.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. You know, I should probably save this for Wednesday night, but I just couldn't resist getting this out here. This came out just 3 days ago. It says the Marines have opted for the 9mm over 45s for the special operators. For Marine special operators, the never-ending debate over whether the 9mm or the 45 caliber round is the more powerful bullet has been settled. Now, let me break in right there. There's no question that the 45 is more powerful. No doubt about it. But the 9mm being faster, smaller, lighter, the bullet performs better than the 45. It's not a matter of power in my mind, but apparently it is for theirs. Previously, the classic 45 caliber Colt 1911 was one of three pistols that the Marine Pararaiders were allowed to carry, but now the Glock 19 9mm is the only pistol that the Marine Special Operators can take into battle. That's what I'm talking about. We put our money behind the 9mm round fired by an extremely well-trained marksman carrying a Glock 19. Since last year, MARSOC has purchased and fielded 1,654 Glock 19s because Raiders need a reliable secondary weapon that could be used for both a concealed carry profile and a low visibility profile, and having one approved pistol for all special operators saves money. Based on lessons learned in our operations, we also took into consideration how well a round could penetrate objects of varying densities and in different environmental conditions. We concluded that a 9mm round suited our needs. One of our most contentious issues that humanity has rattled One of the most contentious issues that humanity has wrestled with is whether the 45 caliber round is superior to the 9mm cartridges. Bona fide experts as well as armchair generals have thrown their hat into the ring. The arguments boil down to this: the 45 caliber round is the bigger bullet, so it has the knockdown power to neutralize any adversary with one shot. Well, I don't know about that. While pistols that fire 9mm rounds are generally more accurate and can carry more bullets, where a bullet hits the human body is also a major factor on whether it inflicts a mortal wound. Even though the 45 caliber cartridge has more propellant, the 9mm round usually has more penetrating power because the smaller round faces less air resistance on its nose as it flies through the air. All right, now whoever this guy says is supposed to be a firearms and forensic expert, but it doesn't matter the amount of propellant. It doesn't matter the air resistance on the nose as it flies through the air, how well it penetrates. The smaller diameter is a factor, but not in the air resistance. It's a matter of the smaller diameter penetrates through barriers, all barriers, better. The 45 caliber round is also more expensive than its 9mm counterpart. For all of these reasons, the FBI is moving from Smith & Wesson 40 caliber pistols back to 9mm handguns. The Official Trade Association for the Firearms Industry has refused to take sides in the 9mm versus 45 debate. Millions of words have been spent comparing the advantages and disadvantages of the two. You can find these discussions plenty on the web. Tests have various inputs and constraints, so even hard data is defined by test parameters. Another issue for the ages is whether troops should use weapons lubricant sparingly or generously in hot, sandy, dusty environments. Despite decades of troop experiences fighting in desert climes, firearms experts remain unable to arrive at a consensus on lubrication. Well, if they're going to shoot the Glock, then that will solve that little problem also. Okay, let's see. Let me check real quick here in the chat room and see what's going on. A little discussion about ammunition. That's a good, healthy discussion. You know, I am so proud of our chat room. We have so very few problems. I can probably count on one hand, most likely, the number of serious problems that we've had, but all of them were nipped in the bud so quickly that it was insignificant. And I want to thank all of you that help monitor this and help watch when I'm not around or when to Tinker or somebody. Minnie, I know you help a lot with that, and I don't remember how many. We've got several people that have the ability to nuke these problems right away, and they do, and I'm proud of you guys in this chat room. It's one of the very few, maybe the only, that I have ever seen that has so minimal problems, and I think it's absolutely awesome. So at any rate, I'll see you guys Wednesday. I'm going to sneak on out of here, and Wednesday we'll have an hour of other stuff, and then we'll get into guns again Wednesday in the second hour. So, good night. Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.